Glory to Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us. The aim of this class is to gain the art of spiritual life through the teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius Brancheninov. This study has already transformed many lives, and we hope your life will be transformed too.
In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and ever, and forever.
Amen.
So, welcome back to this class, and well, I want to say that you are very brave to come in this bad weather, you know, for the class. And I can hear that somebody else is coming, so that is, there are more brave souls here. Hey, hello, Mark. Hello. Oh, hello.
Hi.
Oh, my. A lot of brave souls. It's like a surprise. I can see that classes are not here. You don't have classes today, correct?
John did, but none of us did.
All right. Good.
Well, we saved our class.
All right, we are going to continue. And we are talking about prayer. And in the book, it is page 143. And we start with the last paragraph there. So let's give you 143, last paragraph.
So. Okay. Holy icons are accepted by the Holy Church for the inspiration of pious remembrances and feelings, but never for the inflaming of the imagination during prayer. As you stand before the icon of Christ, stand as if you are before the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is everywhere present in his divinity and physically present before you in his icon. When you stand before the icon of the Mother of God, stand as though before the very all-holy Virgin, but keep your mind without images. There is a great difference between being in the Lord's presence and imagining him directly. The experience of the Lord's presence brings the soul into a salvific sense of awe and feeling of reverence, while imagining the form of Christ and his saints burdens the mind with a kind of carnality and brings into a false, proud, high opinion of itself. The soul is led into a false state of delusion. The experience of God's presence is a very high state. In it, the mind is kept from conversation with thoughts that distract from prayer. In it, the person feels only his great sinfulness. In it, the person becomes especially vigilant over his own soul and watchful to keep himself from any sin, even the smallest ones. This state is only gained by attentive prayer. It is also much aided by praying reverently before the holy icons.
Well, I think that this is quite interesting thing, because he explains something what we do very often. Our churches are filled with icons, and we stand in front of icons. I always love when, like before liturgy, when those guys who serve in already in these Catholics, they go from icon to icon and pray our people. And it is very nice. But he says that we might take this prayer in front of icon in not correct way. And this is like very common for Holy Fathers, especially of East. They say that be careful that your prayer should not be fed by imagination, even like pious imagination. We stand in front of an icon and we we try to imagine Christ, he said, this is wrong. And we should not let ourselves to do this. We should realize their presence, but we should not allow our imagination to be active. Because, like, for a pure prayer, imagination is something what is, it's like barrier. Like God's mysteries, I mean, this knowledge of God's things, knowledge of God's wisdom, knowledge which is hidden for carnal being, carnal man with carnal mind. This God's mysteries, we cannot learn from books. We can really learn some kind of definitions and descriptions, but to have real experience, this is possible only through revelation from God. And there is a condition for this revelation, and it is purity of our mind and our heart, and or this inner eye, this nous which is in us. So all these are effort in prayer, and while in ascetical life is to reach this purity of life. May we are able to see something what is hidden now for us, and we cannot gain in through our powers. It has to be revealed through God's grace to our soul, to our mind. And this is why they say even passions cannot cease to act. Isaac the Syrian, he says that until our senses are playing or they are captive through these external things, heart cannot calm down. Heart cannot come to this peace through which can communicate in some way with God to obtain God. And he says that outside of desert and solitude, passions are alive and bad thoughts are present. It is not the exact citation, but this is what he says. And Evagrius, another like this teacher of spiritual life, he says that our mind has to be naked in front of God. That naked means to strip off of everything, even thoughts. Because even this imagination is part of this carnal part of our being, and this causes barrier to come to contact with God's grace, with this pure spirit. And Isaac, I will return back to him, and in his work he somehow says that this purity of mind, there are like three levels, three steps. At first we have to reach purity of body. It means that we try to remove these passions which are connected with our body, bodily passions. Then the second level comes, second step. It is we have to reach a purity of our soul. It means that we fight against thoughts and these passions which are coming from our heart, which are not connected with the body, but it's like pride, you know, and vainglory or the things. So we remove that. And then it is like, then follows this third level when man is taken by Holy Spirit. That he comes to this place when this bodily and this movement of bodies, carnal movements and passions and this movements in souls caused by passions are come down or they are out. And soul is really like empty, or heart is empty, is in peace, in pure state, naked. And then this is what does it mean to stand in God's presence as stripped of everything. And then God gives us this revelation of his mysteries. So it means that if we pray, like he said, well, icons, they have, it was my, I have to punish myself. So he said that, well, they help, you know, praying from icon, or icons, they help us in this way. And because they like somehow pull us to this God's presence. But in this movement of this, we have to avoid this temptation to let our imagination to work, our thoughts. So just to let these icons to help us to realize God's presence, stand there, but to avoid just to have this pious, even very pious, very good, you know, thoughts or process in mind. Our thoughts should calm down or disappear. This day we should reach. Does it make sense what I'm saying? Does it make sense? Not really? Well, we should like practice that, you know, that, and many things what like Granchino says, and if we read other Holy Fathers, they remind again and again. I read recently from Philokalia this Theodoros, a great, his sayings, and he repeats there again what I read everywhere. Almost everybody says that, well, you cannot understand from books or something what is virtue, what is humility, what are those God's mysteries. He says when you believe those who went through this path, if you believe to Christ and you in obedience you follow God's commandments, so you are slowly gaining little bit by little bit something of this understanding of these spiritual things, but there is a thing that you are not able to offer, to give this your experience to the others, because there are no words for expression of these things which are coming from heaven. We don't have, in this world, we don't have words for that. So even if we don't, whilst if we have this experience that, well, it doesn't make sense for us, and not that what I'm reading or what he says or this explanation, even they have problem to tell us that. But it means that we should trust them and to try that. And it might be good, just this explanation that, I don't know, if you have experience that years ago you reach out for some kind of spiritual book and you started to read and you said, well, I don't understand anything, it's too difficult for me. And then you return back after 2, 3, 4 years back. You start to read and you say, oh, what kind of treasure it is. Why I didn't understand this before. But meanwhile, you mature spiritually, you pray more, you try to grow in faith. Your faith matured and your ability to understand increased. This may be good one example, how does it grow, but Well, all right. I probably did answer your question.
A little.
All right. So let's continue. If there is no comments or questions, nothing. All right.
The words of attentive prayer enter deeply into the soul, pierce the heart, and inspire compunction. The words of prayer uttered by a scattered mind barely scratch the surface of the soul without making any deep impression on it. Attentiveness and compunction are the gift of the Holy Spirit. Only the Spirit can stem the tides of the mind, which flow every which way, said St. John of the Ladder. Another venerable father said, when compunction is with us, then God is with us.
This is something what can help, because we always how we experience this, that we are not attentive. Our mind is scattered during prayer many times. Well, one thing is that we forget to make this preparation. Ignatius was teaching us before. This is one reason, but if we do, if we prepare ourselves, still it takes effort for us to be attentive to words. And what he says, this is something what we should really remember, that words of attentive prayer enter deeply into the soul, pierce the heart and inspire compunction. So this is something what we have to keep in mind, that it's important for us to force ourselves to give this effort for prayer, to have these qualities, to be attentive to the words. And and they say, like John Climax says, that this attentiveness, then we get this piercing of heart, this compunction, what we experience then, this gift from Holy Spirit. And it is our experience that when we really make preparation, when we calm down, when we enter to silence before, when we make all these steps, Brancina was teaching us before, in the beginning of this chapter, so then we start with this desire to really read slowly, as we were talking last time about that. We have this experience that then we start to experience something. These words are really piercing our heart. It means that they go deep. And how many times we stop and we are moved inside. What we read, and we realize the meaning of these words, and it brings tears many times, realizing what we are saying. And John Climax says that this is gift which comes to because of our effort. It is gift from Holy Spirit, who gives us this attentiveness, deeper attentiveness and compunction, what leads us deep to deeper prayer, more pure prayer. And so we have to, and this compunction, this movement of our soul during prayer, it is not something what comes out that I did something wrong during the day and it comes to my mind and I feel sorry for that. It's not that, it is this pure movement of soul which is exposed to God's greatness. And it's some kind of this movement, that or this reaction of soul, it is this compunction it's like the beginning of this awe, which we should feel when we stand in front of God. And I think it is moment when we really start to appreciate this greatness of these gifts God gave us through baptism. Even we don't think about this, but like our soul starts to be aware of this big blessing or gift or something God gave us. So if we think about this his words, it is impulse for us that it's not worthy to, if we approach prayer, it's not worthy to waste this time not prepared or not to do it correctly. That even if we are tired, it's better for us to, it might be less prayer, but still to pay attention to this quality, to this attentiveness. To open ourselves through this, our preparation for these gifts of Holy Spirit, which it leads us deeper to the deeper prayer, to which gives us this ability to see more, and it's, we will see that it will be our experience, because we will recognize that moment. Well, for sure you cannot like expect that each time you go to prayer you will jump to ecstasy. You know that there will be days when we will be tested. But we will be tested that this is some kind of dryness of prayer. But this is the second part, that first, in the beginning, until we don't acquire this ability of attentiveness. Like Saint Paisios, he says, in the beginning of your life, God gives you candies. You know, he gives you this sweetness, he gives you this taste, that what you can expect. And then this process of real purification comes when you have to show that you are faithful, that you really know what you are doing, that you are not doing for some kind of reward, but from love, because you know you already tasted something. All right. So if we are trying to be attentive, remember this paying attention, what we are praying, to force our mind. So it's like key which opens at that moment our soul for gifts. And it is really not good to waste with our time in prayer. No, not to open these doors to God's grace. All right. Comments? Nothing? All right. So let's continue.
He who has acquired constant attentiveness and compunction in his prayers has reached the state of blessedness that the Gospels call poverty of spirit and mourning. He has already torn the chains of many of his passions asunder, already smelled the sweet fragrance of spiritual freedom, and already bears within himself the promise of salvation. Do not leave the narrowness of this true path of prayer, and you will attain the blessed peace of the mystical Sabbath. For on the Sabbath, no earthly work is done, and all labors and battles cease. In this blessed dispassion, away from all distraction, the soul stands before God in pure prayer and receives his calm through faith in his endless goodness, through faithfulness to his all-holy will.
So actually he says what I started to talk about, that this opens us for these higher levels of prayer. And actually, Brianchino, he tells us about this mystical Sabbath. And well, if they talk, Holy Father, about this Sabbath, so they many times they point to two things. Many times they say this mystical Sabbath, they talk about this point when in prayer soul is taken to this high heaven, everything stops, each human activity, it means thoughts, passions, not passions, activities, souls and everything, that Holy Spirit takes like rule or ruling over soul, and Holy Spirit prays in the person, and it is very, very special state, and the mystical state. So this ecstasy, I would say, they call like this mystical Sabbath. Isaac Sirian, he calls the Sabbath is a moment when you are in grave, when you are dead, that then there is no passions, no movement of souls, nothing. There's a peace there. And you don't need to fight. There is no need for making effort, nothing. So anyway, he says this, and he points to this, like, this peak of prayer life, because he wants to bring us or encourage us to take this path of attentive prayer, you know, that to really to see prayer as something we should not just take as a responsibility that we need to say these words, but it's always a further. This is moment when I'm talking to God, I'm approaching God, so I will pay attention to each word and I will keep my thoughts in order. All right. Okay, he continues in description of this mystical state, so let's listen what he says. Let's continue.
In the zealot, flourishing prayer begins at first to reveal itself through a special active attentiveness. From time to time, the mind is unexpectedly taken by it and bound to the words of the prayer. Later, this state becomes more constant and longer lasting. The mind somehow attaches itself to the words of prayer, and through them is united to the heart. Finally, attentiveness is unnoticeably linked with compunction, and the person becomes a temple of prayer, a temple of God. Bring to God quiet and humble prayers, not fiery and passionate ones. When you will become a mystical priest serving at the altar of prayer, then you will be able to enter God's sanctuary, and from there you will fill the censer of your prayer with divine fire. In pure fire, the blind, fleshy warmth of the blood is forbidden as an offering to the all-holy God. The divine fire of prayer taken from God's sanctuary is holy love that is poured on true Christians by the Holy Spirit. He who tries to offer his prayer through the fire of his blood believes in his self-deception and delusion that he is serving God while, in actual fact, he is angering him.
Do you understand what he's saying? Incense and sanctuary and fire and not clean fire and... Well, we have to understand that even he has, and for sure he had this understanding of this state, of this mystical state, because he would not have courage to write about this. When we enter when we encounter God, one thing is that we are losing words. This is why, I don't know if it was Saint Isaac or somebody else who said that every Christian should be a poet. You know, because this is the only way, through poetry, how you can describe somehow, or come to closer to to description of this mystical state. we call it mystical and like secret or something like we don't understand, but well, those, this word is, we are using because we are not there yet. Once we are there, we have experience, but we cannot give this experience to others. We just use some kind of illustration or this language of poetry or poems. And so this is why it is like somehow difficult for us to get, but he is using these words he has to describe us what is going during that time. And what he says that it is that when we calm down, that we are naked in front of us. So it means that this movement of our thoughts, and it's calm down is without, they are not moving, that our mind is pure. And when mind is somehow united with heart, it's difficult to describe it well. Even I cannot. And so this is moment when we, you know, like Christ that if you love me, you keep commandments. If you keep my commandments, I will come and with my Father we make dwelling place in your heart. So this is the moment when we are so pure and that heart is so prepared for this entering of this intimacy with God, to real presence of God. And he says, well, then this moment that we will be like priests who are serving. And we take this fire, God's fire, this fire which makes our prayer pure and running and mystical. It's difficult for me to describe that. So this is what something happens, but what he says, this fire is this God's holy love he has. And we can like take from this love and experience this love through this time of prayer, when our heart is pure, mind is pure, when we are prepared. It's still a gift from God, but gift is given to those who are ready to accept this. And he gives us some warning that, well, don't reach there, you know, while you are still filled with blood, as he says. And so it means you are filled with passions, that you didn't go through this purification. Don't imagine that you are able to reach out and to serve God in this way. Oh, this was difficult for me. And I probably didn't do good job, but it's so difficult to explain that. Maybe for this part we should probably call somebody who is holy to explain us. Yes, Joanne. I'm scared.
it bothers me that he's ended with where is it? He is angering him, that you're angering God. I thought that any kind of effort in prayer would not anger God, even though it is a perfect prayer.
Why you think that? Well, for example, this which we should return back a little bit when he says about preparation. So he says, if you are not in peace with your brother, in gospel, if you have something against your brother and you go to offer, at first go and make peace with your brother, then come to offer. So this is commandment of Christ. It is not that option. This is what you must do if you want to bring the sacrifice. And it means that how can you stand in prayer if there is, for example, this anger in you, or if it is another passion is burning in you. You know, how can you really pray at that time without trying to clean this situation a little bit? I am not talking about prayer when you, some kind of passion bursts on, or temptation it is, and I call upon God, oh Lord, have mercy, help, hurry to help me, you know. This is that where I'm calling it, that I am under, attack of temptation and calling on God. It's not this case. It's this case that I am in the state of living passion in somehow, some kind of sin, and I don't care. But I have this courage to approach God and to ask Him for something. Remember, very soon we will have this gospel about Pharisee and publican. And, what is written there? Publican went out and he was justified. Mm-hmm. Pharisee not. But it means, it puts us, we have to think about this. Gospel tells us those things, but somehow we really put prayer, our society. I don't want to cite, these politicians, but how they work with words prayer. We are praying for something, and it is. It is blasphemy, because it is not, you can see that. I remember after we got freedom and in our parliament in Slovakia, there were communists there too, in small part. And they were citing scripture, to force, others. So the same thing, they didn't believe that there was no real faith, And the same thing, if I'm in the state of some kind of, that I am state of passion and I don't make repentance. So, and then I pray like I am all right in front of God. So it is like to, when son comes and hits mother for no serious reason but really hard, and after 5 minutes he comes and he asks, can you make me a lunch or fix me a lunch or something? I know it's not the best example, but this is, we are dealing with Carol.
It reminded me of the televangelist who comes up very passionate and very involved with God and everything else, instead of coming humbly to Him. That's what came to my mind.
Yeah, you are right. You are right. And this is a good example, because even those who... what he says, that bring to God this, bring to God quiet and humble prayers. This is, and you cannot be, if you try to be humble, you try to really this, to learn this humility, you would not do that. I don't want to judge them, but I'm just saying that you have this state that it's some kind of false approach. It is that not... And it is delusion. Even if you have good intention, if you do like these things, it's something that damages your prayer because you are neglecting some kind of other parts of gospel. And talking about that, it reminded me that I don't know who was that, you are spiritual or father or somebody else, but he says that while many wants to really give this testimony about their faith, praying in a restaurant, you know, publicly. But he said, well, it's great thing to do. But remember, if you are doing that and it is tainted by this feeling that now I show them it's not worthy and it's better to be silent. Well, and he was right in some way, because even good things we many times we want to do, we can taint with this unclean spirit. So unclean thoughts or intention of these movements of our soul. So it is very important how we approach prayer, because this, all those things, well, we might have good feeling, but there is no result for us. If the meaning of prayer is to enter to this mystical unity with God, this is the main reason why we pray. And then this prayer comes to this pure prayer. When we don't pray, there is no activity, no effort on our part. God prays in us. This some kind of this mystical being with God, which is great. So then we have to make prayer clean always with all these kinds of passions, you know, and if we don't do this, if prayer was given for us to reach this state, so if we use prayer, which is tainted by our passion, by this blood that he says, and something, so it angers God, because we are not using correctly. We are not coming closer to him, and actually we don't even understand what prayer is.
In that context, I can understand.
Good. So let's have another paragraph.
Okay. Do not search for exalted experiences in prayer. They are not proper to a sinner. Even the desire of a sinner to feel exalted is already delusion. Seek instead the resurrection of your dead, petrified heart, that it may become open to the knowledge of its own sinfulness and the depth of its fall and its insignificance, to see it and to admit it with self-denial. Then you will find within yourself the true fruit of prayer, sincere repentance. You will stand before God and will cry out to him with prayer from this suddenly revealed state of spiritual helplessness. You will cry out as if from a prison, from the grave, from the hell itself.
It's interesting that he wrote it like 19th century, these words. I think that these words like more for our century. You know, because it is always like very popular to really seek for this special state of prayer, and we have to admit that many times we might be jealous when we see somebody who prays like really whole body with his eyes. And it is the result of passions in us. I don't want to, you know what I'm talking about. You mentioned this what we can see is some kind of special state, you know, and it's. I don't want to be something like too critical, because there are many good intentions, you know, these people, but I will just mention one thing. There is, like, in Slovakia now, it is, I noticed through that there's like a huge, this charismatic movement is there, but it's relatively okay if it is done correctly, but it always makes me like to laugh or to be surprised that there are announcements that, okay, we invite you for some kind of weekend retreat, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday out, and we will be teaching about gifts of Holy Spirit. And on Sunday, you will receive this gift. I said, it's funny, you know, that, well, how somebody can make this announcement, and you can feel that there is some kind of this desire to attract people through special things, to get something special, to be special. And then you can see these people can start to believe that they get something, and there is this lie there, and he says that, well, don't go after these exalted states, you know, where. And all these Holy Father, they say, well, this humility, this understanding that I am just poor sinner who needs God's mercy, this is position which leads to good prayer, prayer which gives us this access to God. If it is tainted with something else, we are destroying the prayer, and actually we lead ourselves to some kind of illusion, which can be very dangerous for our spiritual life. So, many times I don't want to say this, that people, they do it like from bad intention. I think that this desire for God, this desire for God is in souls of people, and many times they reach and they use wrong ways how to come closer to God. Wrong ways, maybe ways which are more, at the time, they are like attractive for them, you know, and they really want to make some kind of jump in their spiritual life and to reach this some kind of higher level. But it's not good. This is very, very dangerous. I mentioned Isaac, the Syrian. He says that if you try to make jump in your spiritual life, God's wrath will come upon you. This anger of God will come upon you. So let's try to avoid that. Okay, I know that it's not 1 hour, but I think that we should finish here, because then it is like one, it would be not worthy to start this part of, he's talking more about humility, and it would be good to keep in one excuse me, in one meeting. So, well, probably it was not, I was not very helpful, but please forgive me that I am not able to maybe to bring in closer, explain better. But if you take this, my words only, like I'm showing the path, and if you take this path, it would be worthy, you know, because I think even if I know to explain better, still we would not understand, because this understanding comes with experience. All right.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please share it with those who might like to be enriched by this teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius. If you live in our area, we would love if you could join us for our study in person on Monday nights at 7 p.m. at St. Nicholas Byzantine Catholic Church in Barberton, Ohio. Thank you, and God bless.